As we continue our trip through the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading today in verse number 1. Joshua chapter 22 and verse number 1, it says, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he has promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get to your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today, and God, we thank you for letting the sun come up again today. God, it is amazing how merciful and kind and forgiving you are to humanity and to this world and to me. And God, I'm just thankful for that today. And God, I pray you'd help us today as we look into your word and we see these tribes that chose good when they could have had great. And God, help each and every one of us today to choose to have all that you have for us and to not settle for something less. God, we love you today and we praise you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Where we're at in our story of Joshua and the children of Israel possessing the promised land is they possess it now and they own it and they're living there. And we come to a place where the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and a half tribe of Manasseh are going to leave the promised land. They're going to leave Canaan land and cross the Jordan and go back and live in a place of the wilderness that they had made a deal with Moses beforehand to do. And the idea that we're going to look at today is we don't need to settle for good when we can have great. That's what these folks did. That's what Reuben and Gad and this half tribe of Manasseh did. To kind of fill you in on the story, back when Moses was alive and they were living in the wilderness, these tribes came to Moses and said, "We don't want to go live in the promised land. We want to live right here. We don't want to have Canaan land. We want to have this place right here." And Moses agreed to let them have it under some stipulations that we'll talk about as we go along. But let me say this to us today. I think this is one of our greatest problems that we face amongst us today. The problem is that we choose good and we let good be good enough when we could have great. Laura gets on to me sometimes because I don't throw around words like great very often. If I say something's great, then I think it ought to be great. I don't say things are amazing or things are just, ooh, unbelievable, you know. And Laura will cook something sometimes. She'll say, "Well, how was it?" I'll say, "It was good." And she'll say, "That's all it was good?" And I say, "Well, yes, that's all it was. I'm sorry. If it's great, we'll raise the bar to great." I don't want to lower the bar there, you know. And so if it's great and I say it's great, it must be. And here's the thing. Great is rare. Great is rare. Great is rare amongst Christians. And great is rare because good is so plenteous. Do you know why we don't have great schools for our kids? Because we have good schools for our kids. And we settle for that. Do you know why we don't have great churches? Because we have good churches. And the reason why we don't have great marriages is because we have good marriages. The reason why some of us are not great parents is because we're good parents. And we have settled for that in many areas of our life. And the reason why some of us today don't have great walks with God and we don't have great Christians today is because we have good ones and we're okay with good and we settle for that. And I want you to know today that we can have more and that we ought to have more and that we ought not settle for it. Now, the reason why Reuben and Gad and Manasseh settled for good is because the Bible said they were people that had a lot of cattle. And they looked around when they were over there on the other side of Jordan, not in Canaan land, and they looked at it and they said, this is a good place for cattle, and we'd rather just stay right here. If you've never heard of Reuben, he's an interesting character in the Bible because, you know, there's 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. God changed his name to Israel, and these 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, do you know who the firstborn of the 12 tribes of Israel was? It was a guy named Reuben. And if you know anything about Old Testament and Old Bible times, the firstborn was supposed to receive more. He was supposed to receive a double inheritance. He was supposed to be the patriarch of the family. But when Jacob was handing out the inheritances, here's what he told Reuben. He said, Reuben, because you are unstable as water, and you were supposed to receive more, but because you're unstable as water, you're not going to receive more. And when you think about somebody who is unstable as water, you know what water does? Let it get to 28 degrees outside. You know what water's going to do? It's going to freeze. Put a pot of water on the stove and cut the heat up. You know what that water's going to do? That water's going to boil. If I take a cup with water in it and I tip it over, that water's going to pour out. In other words, water lets its surroundings and its circumstances dictate how it acts. And that's what Jacob was telling Reuben. He said, you let the things around you dictate your decisions. And that is what we see carried out here in the wilderness. He looked around at his surroundings and he said, I know God promised us a land flowing with milk and honey over there. But I like what I see here and I like the cattle and I'm going to stay right here. And the reason why some of us settle for good and not great is because it's good. Not evil, right? It's not an evil thing. We're not talking about evil today. We're not talking about denying the faith and saying we don't love Jesus and we don't believe His Word. Nobody's signing up for that. We're not talking about, you know, I don't think we got any serial killers amongst us. At least we don't know of it yet, amen? But we don't think that you're a serial killer. We don't think you're a bank robber. We don't think that you're some sort of rapist. And so because it's not these evil things, we say it's not a big deal. And we're just going to do good. But I want to challenge you today that we should not settle. And I think I've got some pretty compelling reasons why today you should not settle for good when we're talking about your relationship with Christ, when you could have great. Here's the first reason why you shouldn't settle today. As you can imagine, when these folks went to Moses and said, hey, Moses, we don't want to go into the Canaan land. We want to stay here. Moses wasn't really big on the idea. And here's what Moses said. He said in Numbers 32 and 6, he said this. He said, paraphrasing, do y'all think that we're all about to go to war and y'all are going to sit here? He said, because that's not going to happen. All your brethren and all the other tribes are not going to go to the promised land and go to war for what God's given us and you sit over here. It's not happening. And here's what they said. They said, oh, no, no. We'll go to war. We'll go fight for the promised land. But we want, when it's over, we want to come back here to the wilderness. And so Moses said, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I think Moses said, like some of y'all are looking, that's pretty dumb. I mean, that's pretty dumb to go and fight the war for the land flowing of milk and honey and Canaan land and then saying, now we'll leave and we're going to cross the Jordan. We're going to go back and live in the wilderness. But that's what a lot of us do today. You see, here's the thing. If you think you're going to choose good instead of great, you say, well, I don't want to really take my Christian life to that level. Here's what I got news for you about today. It doesn't mean that you get let off the hook and you ain't going to have to fight the devil every single day. You still fighting him. You ain't out of the fight. The devil is like the bully at school who comes up to you and says, I'm about to punch you in the face. And you say, well, I don't want to fight. And he says, I don't care. Get ready to get hit in the face. And so just because you want to sit off to the sidelines and say, I don't really want to know part of this. Oh, well. You're going to deal with it anyway. You are going to have to fight the devil whether you are faithful in church or not. You're going to have to fight the devil whether you read the Bible or not. You don't have to pray. You don't have to serve him. You don't have to do any of those things. Doesn't matter. You still are a child of God. You're still a Christian. And you are still going to fight and battle the devil. You know what the devil is doing? I'm a pastor. I teach the Bible 3 or 4 hours a day. I preach 4 times a week. You know what the devil does to me? He lies to me all week long. And he says, you are not loved. He says, you are a fake and a fraud. You are a loser. You are all these things. You're not going to make it. All these things. And you know what he does to the people who don't preach and don't teach the Bible and don't come to church? He tells them the same things, right? I mean, I'm in the Word. I'm doing these things. It doesn't matter that this person over here is not doing it. He tells them the same things. He tells them they're worthless and that they're going to lose and that they can't do it. He lies to them. You're not loved. You can't have peace. You can't have joy. You're not going to make it. So it don't matter if you're pastoring a church or never come to church, the devil's still going to lie to you. The devil is still trying to go about and rob you of your peace and your joy and your happiness, whether you come to church or not, whether you read your Bible or not, you still got to fight him. And so my thing is this. You say, well, if we still got to fight him, my point is, you're going to be a whole lot better off. And you're going to be a whole lot stronger and a whole lot more able to fight him off and to deal with this if you'll get up and get in the fight and get in the promised land and get into everything God has for you. Then you say, well, I'm just going to sit on the sidelines. I don't want to do it. The devil doesn't discriminate today. He doesn't pick and choose. And by the way, let me tell you how the devil is. I tell my kids this. Now, some of y'all going to frown on this, but my sons, I've told them about fighting at school. Have y'all ever, sometimes a fight happens at school. These things happen in elementary school or even in junior high and high school. And I told, and of course, we never want to start a fight, right? We never want to be the one picking on anyone else. But I told my kids, I said, if somebody starts a fight with you or hits you, I said, you jump on them and beat them until somebody pulls you off of them, okay? That's how we do it. I said, the teacher's going to come. Somebody's going to break it up. I said, but you beat them until somebody pulls you off of them. Don't stop, okay? Guess what? That's what the devil does to you. Do you think the devil's just going to beat you and say, oh, okay, you've had enough? He's going to beat you into the ground. He's going to kick you while you're down. You think the devil plays fair? You say, well, I'm down. Don't kick me while I'm down. No, that's right. He's going to kick you when you're down. And he's going to stomp you into the ground. So, you might as well start doing some things that will help you fight this battle. Because if you think living in the wilderness or settling for good is going to be the way out, wrong idea. He's coming for you. You know what people who are unfaithful to church, unfruitful, don't read their Bible, don't pray. You know what they struggle with? Depression, anxiety. They struggle with lust and pride and greed and bitterness and anger. They are unfruitful, unfaithful, don't read the Bible, don't walk with God. Guess what we that come to church and read our Bibles and pray. And guess what we struggle with? Depression and anxiety and lust and greed. So we're all struggling. You might as well get some help to fight this fight. If I had to fight it, that's why those folks usually get defeated. That's why they get knocked out. That's why they lose the fight, because they are not doing the things that it requires for you to win, which is to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to be in church, to be walking with Jesus, to stay close to Him. I think about that song we sang, Rock of Ages. Hey, let me hide myself in Thee. That's where I want to be. I want to be close to Him. And so the first reason why you shouldn't settle for good when you can have great is it doesn't excuse you from fighting. Moses said, do y'all think y'all going to sit over here while we go fight? Oh, no, no, we'll go fight and we'll help conquer the promised land. Then we want to go back. Don't be that foolish today to say, oh, I'll still fight the devil every day, but I don't want to have any of the rewards of the Christ life. Does that not seem foolish to some of y'all today? So that's the number one reason. Number two is this. Again, Moses wasn't happy about it. He said this in Numbers 32:7. He said, let me tell you what's going to happen. He said, just like when I sent the 12 spies into the promised land and 10 of them come back and discouraged all the people from going in, that's what y'all are about to do. When y'all say we want to stay over here, other people are going to say, well, we want to stay over here. Again, it's not just Reuben, it's Gad, and it's half the tribe of Manasseh. They're all saying, well, let's all stay over here. And what happens is, he said, y'all are going to discourage others from entering the promised land, from having all that they can have, and you're going to lead people astray. And here's the thing I would say for us today. I think some of us settle for good instead of great when it comes to the things of Christ, because some of you say this, I don't want to lead. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be out in front. I don't want any part of that. And let me say this, if you don't want to lead, oh well, don't look now, but there are people that are watching you and saying, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. If they can do it, I can do it. If that's how they're going to live, that's what I'm going to do. And we lead people astray. We say, well, I don't want to have all that. And other people look at that and say, well, I don't want to have all that either. And the other thing that happens is this. To them, it happened to those tribes and to Israel. Number one is that they were weaker. Here they are, 2.5 tribes go live back in the wilderness. They could have had 12. There was over 1 million people that lived that were in the nation of Israel, but they decided to get this little group and go over there and live, and they were weaker. I don't know about you, but if I get attacked, if somebody attacks us, I'd rather have 1 million people backing me up. If somebody attacks me, I'd rather have 12 tribes to help than just 2.5. And this is the other thing they did. They made Israel weaker, because now Israel don't have but 9.5 tribes. And somebody attacked them. They could have had 2.5 more tribes. They could have had more manpower. You know what happens at the church? You say, I don't want that. I don't want the victorious Christian life. I don't want to be the holy roller. I don't want to be that person. Well, you're weaker. You're weaker because you're to yourself. And it makes us weaker. You know why churches aren't stronger? Because again, many people are settling for good when they could have great. Does it not make sense to anyone in here today that we would be better off, our church, every church would be better off if you had 100 people witnessing and inviting people to church than 10? Would we not be better off if we had 100 people praying than 10? Would we not be better off if we had 100 people walking with Jesus, experiencing Him other than 10? And so when we choose good, when we could have great, you are weaker. We are weaker, and we discourage others from having what God would have. And then the third reason today why you shouldn't settle for great good when you could have great. We read those first 6 verses, but the story unfolds. There's a little debate about what happens. Gad and Reuben and Manasseh cross the Jordan. They go back over there into the wilderness and outside of the promised land, outside of Canaan, and that's where they're going to live. And they build an altar. And Israel, the nation of Israel, hears about it. And what they assume is that Reuben and Gad and Manasseh are about to start trying to have worship services over there. And do you know where you got to have worship services at? You got to have them at the tabernacle. And the priest got to offer the sacrifices, and that ain't gonna fly over there. And so what they do is they go over and find Reuben and Gad and Manasseh and say, I don't know what y'all are thinking, but if you think that y'all about to burn an offering on that altar, think again. And they said, we're ready to go to war with you. Since y'all don't want to live in the promised land, we'll wipe you out. But worship's going to happen at the tabernacle, and the people that's going to offer the sacrifice is going to be the priest, and it's going to be done a certain way. The other reason why you should not settle for good when you can have great is that worship and God doesn't change, okay? It doesn't change. Now, you can substitute for it if you want to. And you know what we're not going to do today? I'm not going to come up to you and say, oh, I don't think so, if that's what you think you're going to. If you want to do it, you can do it. We're not going to go to war with you like Israel was about to go to war with them. But it doesn't change the fact that worship is still God's way. And here's the thing. It's still about the Word of God. You know how God still speaks to people? Through the book, through His Word. Not another way. You say, well, I don't read my Bible, I do something else. Well, that's fine, but it doesn't matter. It ain't real. It's not the real way. You say, well, by the way, it's still His Word. It's still reading it for yourself. It's still preaching His Word. Worship still must be in spirit and truth. We still have to pray. By the way, the center, the hub of ministry happens at the church. It doesn't happen somewhere else. People do this. Y'all know this. I'm not lying. Y'all have heard people say this. It's hunting season now. Y'all know that. I don't hunt, so I can preach a little bit about hunting, right? Hunting, people will say, well, Brother Derek, I worship God in that deer stand. Praise the Lord. And I don't say nothing to them, but I say, that's fine, but God does, and you can. I ain't saying you can't, but it ain't the same. You can't go to church, the church of the deer stand on Sunday morning and think it's the same. Now, you can believe it, but it don't mean it's right. I ain't gonna go out there, man, what a beautiful day. This is a beautiful day to play golf. And man, I go out there and play golf and say, I'm just worshiping God on the golf course. And you can worship God on the golf course, but it is not a substitute for God's way. It is not a substitute. And you can believe it all you want to do. You know, people say, well, I give money to the United Way. I give to the Red Cross. That is lovely. But it's not a substitute for tithing to the Lord's church. It's not the same thing. Well, I serve. I do volunteer work with all these groups. Good. That's good. You see what I'm saying? It's not evil. It's just not God's way. Just like these folks thought they were going to worship somewhere else. It is not the same. It is not the same. My mama, when I was a kid, tried to save some money and tried to buy fake cereal. She bought Lucky Charms that, I don't know if they was unlucky charms or what they were, but they were not Lucky Charms, and she put them in a container and tried to pass that off to me as Lucky Charms. And I told her, I said, the money you thought you were saving on Lucky Charms, you bought this container to put it in, you should have just spent that money on real Lucky Charms so I could have it, right? It is not the same. Laura one time tried to slip a turkey burger in on me, and that wasn't going to... I said, did you think you was going to get this past me? It is not happening. It is not the same, okay? You might think it is, but it's not. Turkey burger, not a burger, okay? And if you don't know what's wrong with turkey bacon, I probably can't help you today, but it's not the same. I think God is looking down on us today and saying, I gave y'all cows and you drinking milk from almonds and they got veggie whoppers. I don't know. His grace will run out eventually, folks. We can't just keep doing these type of things. But the point is, fake is not real. Substitutes are not substitutes for the real thing. And you can do whatever you want to do and you can believe it and you can try to convince yourself it's okay. But just like Israel went over there and said, if you think you're about to start this over here, think again. I would just say to you today, if you think that that's okay and that that's great, it's not. It might not be evil, but it's not great. Don't choose good when we could have great. People take their families to play travel ball on Sunday. And don't get me wrong, listen. I'm not up here telling you if you miss a Sunday that that's just the most evil thing in the world. Okay? But I am saying don't miss a Sunday and try to say what you did was just as good. Okay? It's not just as good. And there are some things that are not sinful, but they're not appropriate, or they're maybe inappropriate to do. And there are people, and I'm telling you, we live in a day where it's going to get worse and worse of people choosing good over great and choosing convenient over what God would have us to do. And there's no point in it today. Like I said earlier, you know why you shouldn't settle for good when you can have great? You still got to fight. You still got to fight. You still going to struggle. Might as well have all you can have. Might as well get in there and try to win it all and try to be in there for Jesus. Number two, the reason why you shouldn't settle for good when you can have great is because you're going to discourage others. Other people are going to watch you and say, well, they do this, I can do that. Well, this family goes to travel ball every weekend, I can go to travel ball every weekend. Well, this church does that, we can do that. No, you discourage others. Number three is because worship hadn't changed. The fundamentals are still the fundamentals. God's true way is still the true way. And even if you believe it, convince yourself of it or whatever, it doesn't change the fact. True is still true. And I want you to know today that Jesus Christ has given us the victory, and we can have all that He has in store for us. We can choose great and not good. We can have it all. You say, well, does that mean I can be wealthy? I didn't say that. Does that mean I'll be healthy? I didn't say that. Does it mean I'll have success in my business? I didn't say that. But here's what you can have. You can experience the love of God. You can experience peace that passes understanding. You can experience joy. You can experience meaning and purpose and passion in your life. You can have it all. But you got to go in the promised land and start living it. You ain't going to find it on the other side of Jordan. So, well, this land's good for cows. Yeah, well, good. Go over there and see how it goes. We're in a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you don't think there's problems over there, there are. And so don't let the devil convince you that less is better. Don't let the devil convince you that, oh, go over here and things will be good. No, you get where God wants you. You live there. You possess it. You own it. You fight for it. And you can have everything. Today, I just challenge you. If you've settled for good when you could have great, say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a little bit more. I'm going to start striving for great. I'm going to start striving for everything I can have, and I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen? Man, it's been good to be with you today. I hope that you got a blessing from being here today. We sure did, and it's good to be able to gather and worship with God's people.